Morning. It's 229 in your hymn book. There are some things, well, I may not know. There are some places I can't go, but I am sure just one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. For my God, He's real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. Well, His love for me, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, well, some folks may scorn, all can go on and just leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, and God is real, for I can feel Him in my heart. Well, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sin away. Oh, but since that day, yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel His holy power. For my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Well, some folk may die, well, some folk may scorn, all can go on and just leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's call. God is real, for I can feel Him in my heart.
Oh, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it's like my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, they can't go on and just leave this little bride alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part. My God is real, and I can feel Him in my heart. Oh, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed, He's made me whole. Oh, His love for me, church, is like pure gold. My God is, for I can feel Him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when my Jesus took all your sins away. But since that day, yes, since that very hour, my God's been real. Oh, I can feel His Holy Ghost power. Yes, my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, oh, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel it. Shake somebody's hand this morning while we sing it. Time together. Oh, my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for that this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Good to be in church again this morning. Good to have all of our visitors with us and all of the home folks as well. I believe we got a family all the way from Washington State. Good to have them with us. And then Bobby Hammond's a gentleman that works with my dad. He's with us this morning. Good to have you with us, Bobby. And we prayed for him several times. The Lord's healed him. And just good to see him in service this morning. Good to have each and every one of you. And I've got a couple testimonies I wanted to share with you this morning. I don't know if you noticed, Sunday morning when Brother Wes was here, my mother had come up, and she didn't come up for prayer. She just came up to share a testimony, and it keeps slipping my mind to share it with you. But she was telling me that the Wednesday night prior to that service, she's been struggling with pain in her legs since we went on our trip to Delaware. And the devil had just really been fighting her with that, and she was going to come up for prayer Wednesday night for that, and she just told the devil, she said, "No, I'm already healed." And since then, she hasn't had any pain in her legs. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Also, Brother Daniel Cooley had come up for prayer and had been having some problems in his knees. And for any of you that know him very well, that's a real trial, because he likes to play some basketball, and we was at a birthday party yesterday, and I don't mean to isolate Brother Isaac, but I think I saw Brother Daniel steal the ball from him at least once, so his knees must be doing better. And he said he didn't have hardly any pain, and I was going to say that he stole the ball from Brother Stephen, but Brother Daniel said that wouldn't be a real testimony, so... Praise the Lord. So... God's good, though, and I'm glad the Lord has touched him and healed his knees, so we're happy to hear that. We've got some prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Brother Jeremy Bird, he's traveling for work. Want to remember him in prayer. And Brother Yarbrough, he's traveling home this week. Want to remember him. And Brother Layton's sister, Myrtle Hudson, she had to have a heart defib operation. Want to remember her in prayer, that the Lord just continue to heal her. And then Brother James Harrington, as you remember, I mentioned Wednesday night, his dad was killed in a motorcycle wreck this week, and the funeral is today. So I remember that family in prayer during this time. And how many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Truman, I'm just going to ask if you'd come this morning and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests. I'm so thankful we have a place that we can go to when we have needs, that we can take them to the Lord, and that He hears and answers prayer.
Bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we're grateful once again to be in your house. We want to thank you for your many blessings, Lord. All that you mean to us, Lord. We know that you are God. That's the reason we come to you, Lord, with all these requests, Lord, and place them within your hands, Heavenly Father. I know you'll take care of them, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless this service now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, saints. This morning we'll continue with the 18th chapter of Psalm. We'll be doing 31 through 40, and we'll all read the 40th together. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God?
It is God that girdeth me with strength, and maketh my way perfect.
He maketh my feet like a hind's feet, and he setteth me up on high places. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand holdeth me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great.
Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that thy feet did not slip.
I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again until they were consumed. For thou hast girded me with thy strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. You may be seated.
God bless you this morning. I believe we've got a special by my daughter this morning, little Ruth. She's going to come and sing for us. Now, her brothers would be scared to death to do this, but she's not as shy as they are, so help us sing it this morning.
Oh, by and by,
when the morning comes, all the saints are gone and Abbott Hope. They will tell the story, how it overcome. They will understand it better by and by.
Uncle's afraid we have a woman preacher on our hands, but we'll try to discourage that. Number 22 in your hymn book, help me sing it this morning.
Oh, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. Oh, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Yeah.
revealing how he had made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. Oh, and then I cried, dear Jesus, Lord, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, yes, it's victory in Jesus. Oh, forever, for he bought me. Oh, yes, he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Then I heard about my mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about those streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, all about the angels singing and that old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, yes, it's victory. Oh, if you don't have it this morning, you can get it. Oh, forever, yes, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, yes, it's victory. He's my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen. Back just a couple pages. Let's sing number 7 together.
Oh, I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, how we'll raise that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like oh, how we'll shout, Lord, how we'll sing, when the redeemed are gathered in. Oh, there will be a great procession over on those streets of gold, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, or that city will be rolling. That's when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed, oh, sing it to him this morning. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow and free from all sin. Oh, I'm gonna shout, Lord, I'm gonna sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, then our Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, and we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord,
bless you. Thank you, musicians. Got a subject on my heart this morning that, you know, sometimes the devil really beats you up over things the Lord lays on your heart. And I think I've struggled more about this title longer than I've actually studied on the sermon. Seems like the devil just kept beating me up. What a silly title. But I'm sure it'll be an encouragement to somebody this morning. Even if it's only to one, then we know that that's worth it. But my mom used to have a saying that she would tell me. And you know, there's something about it when you're a kid and you hear these sayings over and over and over. You think you get so tired of hearing them. And then when you become a parent, you catch yourself saying those things to your children. You think, oh no, surely I didn't just say that. But my mom used to say, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. And I didn't realize that Brother Branham had said something similar to that, but until just yesterday. But we want to look at this little thought this morning of say something good. Right. Say something good. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 12, Jesus says it this way. He said, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Brother Branham says this in Questions and Answers in 1959. He said, when someone says evil about you, you say something good. If you can't say something good about them, then don't say nothing. Just let it go, see? And then when you get to yourself, pray for them. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne this morning again and feeling your presence here with us, Lord, as we sing the songs of Zion, and Lord, as we've heard the scriptures read, as we read the Psalms, and Lord, we've prayed over the prayer requests, and Lord, we've done everything that we know how to do, Lord, just to set an atmosphere where you would be welcome. And Lord, we're coming before you this morning. Lord, even though we're unworthy, yet we're so thankful for all that you're doing and all that we see you continuing to do. Lord, all the things that you've done for us through life. And Lord, as we look at this thought this morning, I just pray that you'd be with us. Help me, Lord. I don't know for who or for how many, Lord, it would be. But Lord, may it just be an encouragement to someone, Father, we pray. Lord, just may it be a reminder to us of, Lord, how that we should treat one another, how we should talk about one another. Lord, sometimes, Lord, around the message, there's been so much done and so much said, Lord, that we've seen the mysteries revealed and we've seen so many signs and wonders and we've seen you moving in a mighty way. But Brother Branham told us that sometimes it's not the great big things that we're trying to do, but the little things that we leave undone. Lord, as Brother West was preaching it last Sunday morning, how those little foxes sometimes can come in and spoil the vine. And I pray that you would just help us, Lord, even though it may seem like a kindergarten lesson to most of the people here, Lord. May it just be a reminder to us of how we should act, Father, as Christians. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. As humans, we're prone to react quickly. And, you know, sometimes our reflexes aren't just physical reflexes to catch something that would fall or that would get thrown at us, but many times we respond with our lips sometimes quicker than we should. And in this day and age that we live in, when more of the Word has been restored and revealed than ever has been before, there's a great responsibility that's been placed upon us as believers. And it's one thing to say that we believe it. It's one thing to tell people that we believe it. And it's another thing to live it. And I think many times when people are looking from the outside in, one of the greatest things that scare people away from the truth is the hypocrisy that goes on around the truth. And that's not just in this age or in this area or in this church or in this group of people. That's always been. Brother Branham said that Martin Luther, they made the statement that it wasn't so much that he could withstand the Catholic Church and get away with it, wasn't the incredible thing, but that he could keep his head above all the hypocrisy that followed around. And there's something about it that when there's something supernatural done or when there's truth revealed, there's always, Brother Branham teaches us, a mixed multitude that comes with that. It's been in every age. When Moses walked out of Egypt, he had 2 million people that was saying, thank God for sending a prophet. But by the time it was all said and done, there were two men out of that 2 million original people that was standing with him and really believed what he said and was really living to the best of their ability what he had taught. So many times we look around and if we're not careful, we begin to look at numbers and we begin to look at all these different things. But I want to look this morning at the quantity of our life that we live before the Lord. Brother Branham said we should live a life that's worthy of the gospel. I'm just going to read this to you again to let it sink in. I'm going to take my time this morning. If we don't get through it, we'll pick it up again another time. He says, when someone says evil about you, say something good. If you can't say something good about them, then don't say anything. Just let it go, see. And then when you get to yourself, pray for them. Now, that's not a natural human reaction. Amen. Our natural human reaction when somebody does something against us or says something against us, maybe you inherited it from your great-great-great-great-granddaddy or whatever it would be, but our normal reaction when somebody speaks something evil about us, it's either to go and try to correct what they said or to say something evil back about them. That's just our normal human reaction, but that's because we came through the fall. We weren't born with the Holy Ghost. And so many times, even once you receive the Holy Ghost, you've got these two natures that's fighting one another because this never got the Holy Ghost. This flesh never did. And Brother Branham said the chief came along one day, an Indian chief, and he said, since I got the Holy Ghost, he said, I've got two dogs that live inside of me. He said, one's a white dog and one's a black dog. And they said, well, which one? He said, oh, they just fight all the time. And they said, well, chief, which one wins? And he said, whichever one I feed the most. Whichever one I feed the most. So what are you feeding on this morning? I see people looking at one another already, so you know you're on the right track when that happens. But I want you this morning, as we look at these things, another human reaction that's very easy to slip into if we're not careful is when a tape is being played or when a preacher is up here preaching. If we're not careful, things are said and we think, oh my, he got brother so-and-so, or oh my, he really got in sister so-and-so's business. You know, he really got down to their level and was really preaching to them. But I want you to forget about who's sitting in the pew beside you or what your spouse did or what they said, that you can elbow them and say, hey, you really got you this morning, or somebody that you've had a disagreement with, that you can maybe approach them after service and say, oh my, that was sure for you this morning. But I want you to forget about all that, and I want you to just think about, how does this apply to me this morning? Because I think all of us, from the pulpit to the back row, can use, even Brother Joel up there, I'm sure in the rafters up there, I'm sure it can apply to all of us. I'm sure that every one of us can use a little bit of this morning. Our natural reaction is to get worked up when somebody says something about us. Here at the church, we've had lies told about us all around, and all kinds of things take place. I had a brother approach me last week and was wanting to share some things about with me that had been said, and you know, he's a precious brother, and I appreciated his zeal. He wanted to go and try to correct this thing that had been said about me. I said, brother, if it's about you or your family and you feel like you have to deal with it, you do what you feel led. But I said, if somebody's saying something that's a lie about me or the church, I said, I'd rather you just leave it alone. Don't try to go and correct it. If I go around trying to fix every lie that's been told about me, I'd spend so much time doing that I wouldn't have time to study or pray or do anything else for the Lord. And many times the devil wants to get us so distracted with those things that we're chasing around trying to do all that. And I said, if somebody doesn't have enough respect to come and ask me to my face if something was said or done, you know, or if they don't, at least, you know, I'm not trying to hide anything. Every sermon I've preached since we've been all the way back at the house is up online for people to critique and criticize, and the defectors to make fun of. Anybody can access it. You don't have to have a username or a password. So we're not trying to hide anything we're teaching or doing. And if people don't have enough respect to either go back and check what was said or to come and ask me, then how would I want to think that they would even believe me if I went and told them to their face? So I'm not going to chase around and try to fix everything that takes place or is said. The saying says you can't unscramble scrambled eggs. And so if somebody is that type of nature, that they're looking for those type of things, and if somebody says something, if I say, oh, did you hear about Brother Layton, what he did? And they said, oh, really? What was that? And they're anxious to hear it. and ready to pounce and attack anything that, this man does. And especially for preachers sometimes, it's sad, but around the message, sometimes when a preacher falls and leaves the message or falls into sin or something like that, some people around the message almost seem like they're happy about it, that they can't wait to get on the phone and say, "See, I told you so." That's a poor spirit to have. I haven't ever been happy to see anybody fall into sin, or I've never been happy to see anybody leave the message. I've been discouraged, I've been depressed, I've been saddened many times by those things, but I've never been happy to see that. Even if it's my worst enemy, I don't want to see him go to hell. You say, "Have you got enemies, Brother Nathan?" Yes, Brother Bram said, anything that's against this word is your enemy. So I do have enemies, not because that it's my choice, but because they've chose to attack the message. And if they want to attack me, that's okay. But when they begin to attack the message or the Word of God or the Bible, that's my enemy. Not the person, not their human flesh, but that spirit that's upon them. Remember, Jesus even said, "Get behind me, Satan," to Peter. Now, he wasn't attacking Peter's flesh. He didn't want to see Peter go to hell. In fact, he said, "I've prayed for you." He said, "Peter, Satan has sought to sift you as wheat. But he said, I've prayed for you that when you're converted, you'll strengthen the brethren." And Peter can say, "When I'm converted, Lord, I've been your disciple for years. Here I've been walking with you in your ministry for 3 years, and all the things that I've done and seen, I've cast out devils." And Jesus said, "Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren." Because he hadn't got the Holy Ghost yet. And Brother Bram said, "You haven't truly been converted until you get the Holy Ghost." So I don't want my reaction to be that every time somebody says something about me or my family or the church or somebody, that I'm going to go get on the phone, roll up my sleeves, and call them and line them out. Brother Branham said, when they do those things, if you can't say something good about them, then don't say nothing. Just let it go, see. And then when you get to yourself, put it up on Facebook and Twitter and text all your friends. No. He said, pray for them. Hebrews chapter 6, part 2, 1957. And if you want somebody to say nice words about you, say some nice words about somebody else. That's the way to do that. Then you'll always say the nicest things you can about everywhere. And that makes the wheel roll better. Now, I might get a little personal this morning, but I'm not going to get too terribly personal. But I know, you know, in this area, there's different brothers and all kinds of ideas, and people take sides and criticize and do all these different things. But one thing that I always noticed about Brother Collins, and one thing my dad always complimented him on, and I think it's a very good credit to the man, he, you know, you could walk up to him and say, you know, maybe Brother Jimmy had done something to you that really just hurt you. Maybe you felt he didn't even mean to. Maybe he was meaning something and you took it the other way and you got so upset, and you would go in and it was just going to really line Brother Jimmy out. And you go into Brother Collins's office and you say, "You know that Jimmy Ard?" And he'd say, "Oh my, what a precious brother." That kind of nips things right there. Whatever you had to say about that brother and cut him down and run him down, all the things you was ready to roll up your sleeve, that kind of just puts a stop to things. So if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say nothing at all. And Brother Bram said we should always be wanting to say something good about somebody. Now, any of us, I don't care who you are, remember Brother Branham, he said that he came out of that meeting that one time and the people was saying, "Oh, Brother Branham, what a good service, and my, we sure enjoyed the sermon." And he said that other minister was standing there and he crossed his arms and said, I don't like it when people brag on me. Brother Branham said, "Well, it just so happens that I do." Now, he didn't say he wanted to brag on him, you know, he wanted them to lift him up higher than Jesus, but he said he did like for people to pat him on the back every once in a while and brag on him. And he said there was just one difference between me and that man. I was being honest and he was a liar. Because there's nobody, I don't care if it's a little baby or even, you know, we've got a couple little dogs at the house, and even they like to be bragged on. They don't like to be scolded all the time. But you brag on them a little bit, and they're happy to come around and see you. The children, you know, some of you with children, if you're not careful, you get in this rut that everything that comes out of your mouth is correction and negativity and running that child down. And if you're not careful, Brother Hall, a Pentecostal evangelist that my mom and dad used to follow his meetings before they came to the message, he made a statement one time, and he said, "You know, pigs love to eat corn." And he said, but if every time a pig comes around the stall to eat that corn and you take that corn and beat him over the head with it, he said, eventually, no matter how much that corn, that pig wants that corn, he's not going to come back around because he knows he's just going to get beat over the head with it. That's the problem with a lot of message churches is people have beat people over the head with the word so much that even though the people is hungry for the word and they're longing for the truth, that if they're going to get beat over the head every time they come around, there's something about it, eventually they just wind up walking off. And it's the same with your children. If all that ever comes out of your mouth is negativity and criticism and all those things, I realize we have to correct our children. Don't get me wrong. We have to correct our children. We have to say things sometimes even negative to them to get them to stop doing something. But if you don't kind of savor that a little bit with some positive statements and with some a little bragging on that child of what a good job they did in school or how nice they treated their brother or sister or something, when they're doing positive things, they're going to get a complex that anything that comes out of your mouth is always something to criticize and run them down and cut them down. And I don't care who you are, you wouldn't want to be treated that way. Every one of us, to the youngest to the oldest, likes for somebody to put a feather in our cap every once in a while, as Brother Branham would say it, and brag on us and do something, not out of hypocrisy, but just a little genuine. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to write a 30-page letter, you know, lifting somebody up, but just a little bit of love goes a long way. A little bit of love just to say, I sure appreciated something that you did. Or I saw the way you treated that person. I really thought that was nice. Just a little pat on the back, whether it's a child or to the oldest person here. It means something to us. But some people I get around them, and some people, I won't say, I sort of not say the names, but just kind of a generalization that would have narrowed it down. So we won't do that. But you get around some people, and you see, You think, is there ever anything positive that comes out of this person's mouth? Did they ever have anything good to say about anybody? Everything is always woe and gloom, and this person did this to me, and this person did that, and this person's making bad choices, and this person's doing this, and just constant negativity. And Brother Branham said something, he said there's an atmosphere that we create. And he said, have you ever been around some people that he said, you just love to be around them. There's something about it. You just love to fellowship with them. And he said, then there's other people. He said, you just hate to almost see them come. And he said, now, no doubt they're a good Christian and they mean well and all that. But he said, they create an atmosphere around them. And if all that comes out of your mouth is negativity and you're always running somebody down and cutting somebody down and you look around one day and you wonder why you don't have any friends, well, maybe this sermon will help you this morning. Because everybody likes to have something good said to him sometimes. Experiences, 1948. He says the only way that you can respect God is to respect one another. Now, I don't care. Now, we all believe the message this morning, right? I don't care how much that you jump and shout and holler and say that you love God and say that you believe the message. If you can't have just human natural respect for your brothers and sisters in Christ, he said, you the only way that you can respect God is to respect one another. Is that right? If you want somebody to say something good about you, you say something good about somebody else, they'll say something good about you. Jesus said in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 43, he said, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, this is not the way of the world right here. This is not, if you go out here on your job or you go out here in politics or you go out here and rub shoulders with some of these politically correct people, this is not the way of the world. And in fact, this isn't even the way of most professed Christians, but this is what Jesus taught us, that even if somebody curses you, bless them. Even if somebody hates you, do good to them. And even if somebody despitefully uses you and persecutes you, pray for them. Now, as the saying goes, this is where the rubber hits the road. This is the Christian life that Jesus is talking about. Jesus stood there and he said, you know, you want to be Christ-like, this is him, this is Christ, what he's saying. And we all want to be Christians and we all want to be Christ-like. We all want to be like Jesus. We sing that little song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. And then we read scriptures like this and we think, oh Lord, it's hard to be like him. And there's only one way you can do it. You can't fake it. You can't work yourself into it. You can't try to live by a set of rules. The only way you can live this way, you might be able to be a hypocrite and fake this way, but the only way you can truly from your heart live this way is to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said there was something about it. He said, I read a quote just yesterday. I don't think I have it up here, but he said, that, you know, when he came to Indiana, the kids would make fun of him and call him a Kentucky corn cracker. And he said his mouth was always busted up from getting into fights. And he said he had a school teacher that she was trying to work with him about his temper. And she told him if he'd sit down and tie a certain amount of knots in this string, that it would help him. And he said about the time he got halfway through, he's so mad he just threw the thing up and ran out the fence there. He had a temper that he was dealing with. And he said, but now, he said, there's something about it. He said, the old William Branham died. They think he died in 1965. He was dead a long time before that. He just changed bodies in 1965. He went in another dimension. But William Branham had died long before that. And he said, there was something about it that now, he said, I don't care what somebody says about me. He said, I can go and pray for them. Now, you want a victorious life? We sang victory in Jesus. This morning, you want a victorious life? You get that died out to this old flesh, to where somebody can say evil things about you and run you down and do things despitefully to you and persecute you and literally just hate you. And you can go in your prayer closet and instead of telling everybody else and getting texting all your friends and calling all your neighbors and your family and saying, oh, poor pitiful me, this person did this and said this. If you can enter into that closet and from your heart pray for them, you've got the victory, I'll tell you. That takes victory. Palmer worm, locust, cankerworm, caterpillar, 1953. He says, the way I treat you, that's my attitude towards God. Again, in demonology in the physical realm in 1953, I hope you don't mind me reading these from the 40s and the 50s. Well, I'm going to read them anyhow. But he said, I realize as I treat the people, I'm treating God. Just my attitude towards you is my attitude towards Christ. And your attitude towards me is the same thing. That's right, towards Christ. So you mean if I treat brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so a certain way, that's how I'm treating the Lord Jesus? Now, if we'll all be honest with ourselves this morning, there's been many times that we've said things to brother so-and-so or to sister so-and-so, or maybe we didn't have the guts to actually say it to them, but we said it about brother so-and-so or about sister so-and-so that we would be scared to death to say about the Lord Jesus. But Brother Branham stands in 1953 and he said, my attitude towards you is my attitude towards Christ. You say, oh, but he was just talking about the bride. You know, just how we treat the bride. Well, do you have a spreadsheet that tells you who's bride and who's not? I sure don't. Maybe you think you do, but I don't know who's bride and who's not. And if so, we would, you know, if we did, it'd be a mess. We wouldn't know who to pick. Can you imagine Paul there when he stood and held the coats of the men that stoned Stephen? Would he have been on your spreadsheet as the bride? Probably not. You say, oh, Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. And look what Paul was doing. Yeah, but you didn't watch his life long enough. Sometimes we don't give people long enough. We look at somebody and say, oh, Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. And look at this guy over here. Here he is. He's backslid and he's doing this. And this person over here said this and did that. They can't be bride. Look at their fruits. Well, we give their fruits a little bit of patience like we gave yours. Yes. My attitude towards you is my attitude towards Christ, he said. Respects, 1961. So when I respect you, and you respect me, and we respect each other, then we're respecting God. Now, some of the things that people say, you know, and I feel like, you know, I don't say this because it's, you know, the people that attends our church. I can say this honestly. I'll weigh the people here, and I'm not talking about physical weight. We won't even go there. I'll get in trouble, won't I, Brother Layton? But I'll weigh this group of people up against any other church I've ever seen. I feel like the people going here, not because of me, but because of the Lord, I feel like you've grown, you've been grounded. We've got, I don't say it because it's here, I say it because I mean it. I feel like we have the cream of the crop that comes here to the church. And that's not running anybody else's church down, but I feel like I have that right to say that. I feel like we have the cream of the crop. But even around our church, if you're not careful, you begin to hear things, see the way that people treat one another, see the way people say things about one another. And if you're not careful, the enemy will slip in. You know, most of us are far enough in God that, you know, we ain't going to walk away like a lot of these have and leave the message. We've come too far for that. We've come too far to go back now, Brother Hoover. We've seen too much. Satan's not going to pull the wool over our eyes on that because we've recognized a vindicated prophet. As Brother West said last Sunday, how could that blind man that Jesus picked up the mud and rubbed it in his eyes, how could those Pharisees ever convince that man that Jesus was wrong? They couldn't have ever done it. And my eyes were blind too, and they came open. And they can't ever convince me. A man kept trying to contact me for months, trying to tell me this vision failed and that vision failed. And I finally told him, you will never convince me that one vision has failed. So you might as well waste your time with somebody else. I've come too far for that. By the grace of God, most of us, he's not going to convince us to go back to alcohol or drugs or cigarettes. He's not going to convince us to do those type of things. We've come too far for that. God's blessed us, and we've been sanctified, and we've gone along far enough that Satan's not going to pull most of us back into those type of things. But if you're not careful where he'll begin to deal with you, he won't mess with you so much on the senses of the flesh. But as we've looked at it before, he'll begin to enter into the realm of the spirit. And in your imagination or in your memory or in your conscience and these type of things, he'll try to place thoughts in there that, well, brother so-and-so didn't even shake my hand this Sunday. And sister so-and-so turned around and she looked at me kind of funny. Yeah, she probably had a sour mint in her mouth or something and probably just had a terrible look on her face. But that don't mean that she was meaning it towards you. Oh, brother so-and-so was talking to me after church and he looked so mad. Yeah, he might have been thinking about all the stuff he had to go home and do after church. But you applied it to yourself that, oh my, he was so upset. I don't even know what I did to him. And Satan will begin to work on your imagination, or he'll begin to work on your memory of, brother so-and-so said this about me 15 years ago and I still hold it against him. And he'll begin to work on you in that realm. And if you're not careful, you'll get an old, bitter, negative spirit against you to where every time you go out somewhere, all you can do is point back to what brother so-and-so said about you 10 years ago, or what sister so-and-so did, or how brother so-and-so hurt your feelings, or how you was mistreated here and mistreated there. And if you're not careful, you will create an atmosphere around yourself that, oh, you may not be going out and getting drunk, and you may not going out and smoking, and you may not ever be convinced that Brother Branham was wrong or these type of things, but there's something about it that you may not lose your salvation, you may not lose the Holy Ghost, but you'll certainly lose the joy of your salvation. And I don't want to walk around discouraged and depressed and bitter and critical all the time. Even Brother Branham had to come around to the people. You remember, I know people don't like you talking about this, but it's what he said. He said that he had to repent because he'd got a critical spirit on himself. Now, if the prophet of Malachi 4 and Revelations 10:7, I'm not ashamed to say he was those things. I know there's many. I preached that in a church one time, and a man said to me, he said, if all the mysteries have been revealed, I sure missed something. I said, well, I can say amen to that. You sure missed something. He didn't believe Brother Branham's Revelations 10:7, but I just happened to. And if a man of his caliber and anointed in the manner that he was and with the gifts and the life that he lived that would surpass mine as far as sanctification many times over, if a man of that caliber could say that he got a critical spirit and that the people would come and he'd pray for him and he'd preach his heart out and he'd preach against bobbed-haired women and all these things, and he said, I'd come back the next year, and he said they were still doing it, and he said, I got discouraged, and he said, I began to call them Rickies and Rickettes, and he said, the Lord condemned me for it, said, you got a critical spirit. Now, remember, the Bible said Elijah was a man that was prone to like passions like we are. And if Brother Branham could get a critical spirit on him, how much more could one of us, if we're not careful, get a critical spirit to where if we're not careful, we'll begin to look at every little thing that people does and pinpoint every little thing. Oh, brother so-and-so did this and sister so-and-so did that. And we'll begin that spirit will begin to work on us to where if we're not careful, we get around people and all we can talk about is negativity and running somebody down and trying to prove somebody wrong or trying to straighten somebody out. I pray that God never lets me get to that point. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now I know when most of us get reviled or persecuted and have all kinds of evil said against us, even falsely, not something that you did, but something falsely, it's hard for us to go around that day and say, oh, I am blessed. I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed when they tell lies about me in the morning till I lay my head to rest. I am blessed. I am blessed. But that's what Jesus said, if they're doing it for his sake. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hands, but you just consciously think, how many's had something bad said about you in the last week or two, or maybe even had a lie told about you, or had somebody criticize you for something that they didn't even understand why you did it, or didn't know why, or didn't come and ask you, but just ran you down to somebody else? You should rejoice this morning, because you're in an elite group, because they did the same things to the prophets which were before you. Jesus said it this way in Questions and Answers 1959. I know we're not running the aisles and shouting this morning, but Brother Branham said his mother told him, you know, they'd get sick and things. They didn't have nice double pane windows like we had. They just had some burlap sacks and things over the windows and you know, big gaps underneath the doors and things. And he said when that cold weather would get in and things, they'd begin to get sick. And she'd bring him some castor oil to make him drink it to try to keep some of the infection and things down in his body. And he said, Mama, he said, it just makes me so sick, I can't hardly stand it. She said, if it don't make you sick, it won't do any good. So if this was making you a little sick this morning, it's doing you good. Yes. Questions and Answers 1959. He said, could they pull whiskers from your face if you had them there, jerk them out and spit in your face when you had the power to call legions of angels? Could you do that for the love of the people that was spitting in your face? Could you do it if somebody just walked up to you and said, hey, you hypocrite, and smacked you on the side of the face, on one side of the face? Could you pray for their forgiveness? Now, that's where the trust, he said, the test, whether you got the Holy Spirit or not, see? When somebody says something evil against someone, sometimes that claims to have the Holy Spirit, I'll get even with her if it takes me my last day, see? Now, there's where you check about your Holy Spirit. Now, I know this doesn't seem like a very deep topic this morning, but when you bring this quote into it, it gets a little bit deeper. That when you feel that way and when your constant reaction is for revenge and rebuttal and to fight back, he said, there's where you check about your Holy Spirit. Oh, how we should stay prayed up. Because even if you have the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean that Satan's not going to still try to come and tempt you or fight you or lie to you or try to get you worked up about somebody else in the church or in the message or at your work or at your school or wherever it would be. Satan is going to come in. If he can't get you to smoke or drink or turn away from the message or do drugs or all these other things or commit adultery, he's going to come at you in another path. And he's going to either try to get you in your pride or he's going to try to get you bitter or he's going to try to upset you some way. Remember, Brother Bam said he's got one punch coming to you. And whatever that is, if you tend to lean towards gossip, Lord help us. If you tend to lean towards gossip, you better watch that spirit. If you tend to lean towards being proud, you better watch that spirit. If you tend to lean towards bitterness and getting grudges and getting complexes, you better keep that thing covered up and stay prayed through about it. Oh, we talk about lust and drugs and all those things, and we realize we need to keep those things covered up. But many times we stay so sanctified that way that we forget about these type of things. And we begin to tell ourselves and convince ourselves that, well, we're okay because we don't do what the world does. It needs to go a little further than that. It needs to be a life that's lived, a life like he lived, a life that when they ripped the beard out of his face and smacked him and spit in his face, he could say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. James chapter 1, verse 26. He said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. This man's religion is vain. Even though he seems to be religious, even though he comes to church on Sunday mornings and maybe even an occasional Wednesday night, and even though he pays his tithes and he comes and takes the communion and the foot washing, and even though he seems very religious, but he can't bridle his tongue, he said, this man's religion is in vain. Now that's a powerful statement. Amen. Brother Branham said one night he was preaching somewhere, and he said he just preached his heart out. He thought he had covered everything. And a woman came up to him after a church. And he said, oh my. She said, Brother Branham, she said, you sure told him tonight. Said, you sure preached on them, but you didn't hit me. And he said, well, sister, you must sure be living close to the Lord if I didn't hit you tonight. Because he thought he'd preached on everything. And the pastor leaned over and said, Brother Branham, there's just one thing you failed to mention. Said, she's the biggest gossiper in the country. He thought he'd hit everything, but he missed gossiping. We don't think that's a sin sometimes. Oh, we just got a burden for the people, and we just want to let everybody know to pray for them. We just want to, you know, put some of these things out there for people to pray for. Many times, if you're not careful, you pray somebody right in the back. Jesus didn't say, bring everybody's dirty laundry and air it out before the church. He said, go and pray for those that despitefully use you. He didn't say tell everybody about it. Many times we want to get everybody on our side, and poor pitiful me. And I understand that. That's human nature. I battle those things too. Don't think I'm up here squeaky clean with a white cloud around me and all of you are sinners. No, absolutely not. If he's going to fight you with these things, don't you think he's going to try to attack me and Brother Layton, the deacon brothers and different ones in the leadership? If he can discourage the encouragers, then who's going to encourage the people? So many times he'll come and he'll begin to put something in your mind. Oh, brother so-and-so, they think this about you. And Brother Branham wasn't immune to those things. There he was sitting there preaching birth pains. And Satan began to tell him this Catholic priest on the pulpit was disagreeing with everything he was saying. But by the end of the service, he realized that he was getting it more than the Pentecostal people was. And the pages of his Bible stuck together there that Sister Mita had given him. And he turned it over and he couldn't find the scripture. He began to get nervous and upset. And the Catholic priest walked up and he said, here, read it out of mine. He said, don't be upset, son. Don't be discouraged. He said, God's doing something in this. And he handed him the book. And Brother Branham said, it hit him this day, the scripture is fulfilled. The priest handed him the book, and he handed back the book and said, this day, the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And God was working it all out. But in the midst of that, Satan was trying to lie to him and say, this priest is disagreeing with everything you say. If Satan will do it to him, he'll certainly do it to us to try to get us, brother so-and-so, he doesn't really love me, because if he loved me, he'd do this. And sister so-and-so, she must have something against me. And he'll begin to bombard us with all these things. And if we're not careful, our human nature is to call brother so-and-so and get them on our side and call sister so-and-so. Oh, you just wouldn't believe the way somebody's treating me and somebody's doing me. And you begin to get a negative, critical spirit on you. Brother Branham said, if you can't say something good, just let it go. Don't say nothing. We should be taking it to him in prayer, in our prayer closet somewhere. Amen. Questions and Answers, 1959. When anyone does anything wrong to me, I never pray against them, I pray for them. When anyone does anything wrong to me, I never pray against them, I pray for them. Many of us, oh Lord, heap coals of fire on their head, Father. And we pray in that manner. Lord, but you just recompense that evil, Father. You said that, you were the one that recompensed evil. And I'm not going to do anything, but Lord, you sure just make them miserable. He said, I never pray against them. I pray for them. What an example that he lived for us. Now, I'm not going to read you this entire quote because it's rather lengthy. But if you want to read it in its entirety, Brother Layton had printed off a copy and put it out here by the wardrobes. And while I'm mentioning that, I forgot Brother Joel and Sister Christy had requested. There's some the lost and found items out there by the wardrobe. They've kind of full and running over. So whether you think you left something or not, you might check that this morning. They've got it up in the fellowship area. But out there by the wardrobes there's a little plaque that Brother Layton put up there that's got a quote in it the word to the church, they call it. And I'm not going to read you in its entirety because it's rather lengthy, but I'm going to read you portions of it this morning. If you want to read it in its entirety, you can go read it in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed in 1963, or you can read it on the wall out there. He says, love one another. Above everything, love one another. Don't, no matter what the devil tries to say. Now you're all one great big sweet group now, but remember my warning. See, Satan won't let that stay that way. No, sir, he'll shoot everything if he has to bring somebody in to make his target. He says again, the enemy will come, and when he does, just cling that much closer together. And the one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. That's all. Now, we've seen it before in the church, not just this church. We've seen it in other churches, you know, around the message or whatever it'll be. And many times Satan will allow these things to happen. And we've seen exactly manifested what he said. Either the brother, either God will come in and handle the situation. And the brother or sister or whatever that's beginning to cause problems, either they'll go on and go their own way. And, you know, we hate to see it happen. But if it's going to cause contention, well, praise the Lord, whatever the Lord wants. Or they'll catch what Satan's trying to do and they'll realize, oh, wait a minute. Satan's just trying to upset everybody and Satan's trying to upset me. And they'll recognize what it is that the devil's doing and they'll just come on in and be one of you. He said, it'll be one or the other. He said, if the brother, you think he's a little wrong or the sister, say, Lord, don't let me never have the root of bitterness spring up because it'll affect him and it'll take the Christ right out of my life. That poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred that will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. Now, if you're not careful, you might say, well, Brother Nathan, I'm not the one that's in the wrong. Brother so-and-so did this or Sister so-and-so did this or they said this about you or about the church or about my family or whatever it would be. And you know, we weren't the ones that's in the wrong, but bless God, we're gonna go out there and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And if you're not careful, that jealousy and bitterness and hatred, he said, it'll take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It'll run him from the tabernacle here. It'll kill the Spirit of God or drive it away from here. Hurt your pastor. It'll do everything, see. Don't you do that. Now, he's not saying that you can lose the Holy Ghost once you get it. But he's saying that that gentle dove can take its flight for a while. And maybe you'll sit there and wonder, why don't I feel the presence of the Lord like I used to? Why doesn't he deal with me in the way that he used to? Have I lost my salvation? No, you can't lose your salvation. Have I lost the Holy Ghost? No, you haven't lost it, but you might have grieved him away for a while. Again, he says, love one another anyhow. Talk nice about one another. Say nice things about one another, and then God will bless you. I like this in a super sense in 1959. He says, now don't you listen to one foul thing the devil's got to say, see? If the devil shows you some or tells you something evil about one of the members of the body of Christ, don't you believe it. For as soon as you believe it, you mar your experience. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want my experience marred. And I don't want to see your experience marred. But many times when we hear something about somebody, if we're not careful, we jump right on the bandwagon and we begin to spread that about that person. Oh, did you hear what brother so-and-so did or what sister so-and-so did? And somebody else say, oh, I always thought they were that type of person. I always thought they'd fall for something like that. And then they get on the phone to somebody else and they get on the phone to somebody else and they get on Twitter and they get on Facebook and this one begins to text that one. Before you know it, the whole church is in an uproar over something that somebody said that maybe they just took it wrong and didn't even mean it that way in the first place. And if you're not careful, Satan will begin to enter in and he'll begin to divide and conquer. And oh, you may not be lost. You may not be guilty of losing the Holy Ghost, but he said it'll mar your experience. And you'll sit there and you'll come into church and all that the devil will let you think about is, oh, there they sit across the pew. How can they sit there so self-righteous, you know, and how can they, after the things they said and did to me, maybe because brother so-and-so said that sister so-and-so said that brother so-and-so heard that sister so-and-so put over here that, you know, that they said it, and you sit there and you get a bitter attitude about them. Of course, you're too proud to go to him and ask him, did you really say this, or is this really what was said, or the way it happened, and probably not even, you know, we used to play that telephone game where you'd sit about 10 people in a circle. And you'd whisper something to somebody, and they'd go around. By the time it got back to you, it wasn't what you said at all. That wasn't what you said. So why should we expect anything less than the message when it goes from this church to that church to Arizona to Florida to Canada to Tennessee and back, and somebody say, did you hear what Brother So-and-so said? Well, I better go back and see what Brother So-and-so said and either ask him about it specifically, or if it was a sermon or something, I better go back and see what he said instead of taking, you know, 10 people's word from it. But because, you know, none of us mean to intentionally to add or fabricate or stretch the story or, you know, embellish it or whatever it would be. But if we're not careful, somebody says something, we think they said it this way, and we take it and say it to somebody else. And by the time it gets around, it's so stretched out of place. And then we let the devil beat us up over it and you know, destroy friendships or destroy churches over something that somebody supposedly said, and don't even have the backbone to go and ask them yourself if they really said it or not. He said it'll mar your experience. I hope I'm preaching to somebody this morning. It's kind of quiet, but that's okay. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. I've seen so many conversations, wasted time, wasted hours. I've seen so many pulpit hours spent of wasted time running other brothers down. People, you get go out to lunch with them, and all they want to do is pick a brother and just tear him apart. Or you get out in the parking lot somewhere and all they want to do is just run somebody down, or somebody get up in a pulpit and take their agenda to prove somebody else wrong and waste 2 hours just proving somebody wrong, or so they think. Wasted time. It doesn't edify anybody. He said, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. If I can't get up here and preach something that's going to edify and encourage, if all I can do is get up here and run down somebody else or try to prove somebody else wrong, and I've got to, for my sermon material, just try to take somebody else's sermon and try to prove them wrong, I'm wasting my time and your time, because that's not going to edify anybody. I like the way, you know, we have so many examples in the Bible and the message if we just go and look at them. I like the way Brother Branham handled this. You know, I was talking to a brother the other day, and he was telling me about some of the brothers, the local brothers that had split off from Brother Branham and started their own churches here. I believe there was at least 5 of them that started churches out of the tabernacle. Brother Ruddle and Brother Jackson and different ones, a lot of different brothers that he refers to. And you listen to the way that Brother Branham talked about those brothers. You look at the way that he treated those brothers, the things that he did, and it doesn't match a lot of our perspective of how we treat one another around the message. If you don't belong to our clique, or if you don't belong to our church, or if you don't belong to our doctrinal idea of something, many times you just count people out and write them off. Brother Branham didn't ever do that. The Lord Jesus didn't ever do that. He says in questions and answers number 2 in 1964, he said, I don't think my brother's here tonight, but somebody made fun of somebody leaving the tabernacle and went down to Brother Junior Jackson, said for a church, said they went down amongst the dead birds. You know those spirits don't die. Said they went down amongst the dead birds. Aren't you ashamed to make a remark like that? Ever who you are? If you're my kid here in Christ, I'm ashamed of you. Don't do a thing like that. Junior Jackson is my brother. Don Ruddle is my brother. This is how he treated people. This is how he treated the people. He didn't run them down. He didn't take a whole message and say, you know what, Brother Jackson is teaching this, and I'm going to just prove him wrong, and I'm going to, this is why they left, and these left over here to go to Junior Jackson's, and I'm just going to take a sermon, and I'm just going to blast those brothers, and I'm going to prove them wrong, and I'm going to make them look so ridiculous that by the time I get done with this sermon, you wouldn't even want to step foot across the pavement to shake their hands. He never said that. He said, you're saying those things against them? He said, I'm ashamed of you. He said, those are my brothers. And many times they'd be in there in the service. He'd have them come up and pray. Or he'd have them come up and he had a prayer line. Have those brothers join in the prayer line with him. He'd mention them from the platform. Good to have Brother Ruddle. Good to have Brother Jackson. Good to have Brother so-and-so with us. He'd have to talk to them in the men's meetings that they'd have with those ministers' brothers and always try to say something positive. Always try to say something to encourage them. He'd even say sometimes, you know, Brother so-and-so has church on a certain night. We don't have service that night. Why don't some of you slip on down there and go to church? Well, you know, today most people would be scared to death that their people would be deceived if they went down to some other church. But there was something about it that he taught the word before him so plainly. He wasn't afraid of his people being deceived. How How can you deceive the bride in the first place? I've heard people say, I sure wouldn't sit and listen to no minister because I'm afraid I'd be deceived. Well, you must be afraid you're not bride then, because the elect can't be deceived. If I was 100% wrong, I could never deceive you if you're bride. I'm not scared. You say, oh, Brother So-and-so, is it okay, Brother Nathan, if we visit Brother So-and-so's service for special meetings? You know, if this is your home church, I believe you should be at your post of duty when we're having services. And if we're not having services and a brother's having services that don't conflict, I'm not afraid that you're going to go down and get deceived. And you know what? If you go down there and you feel like you're getting fed better than you're getting fed here, and that you feel like you're more at home there than you are, then I pray to God that if you can get blessed better, then go make it your home church. I'm not here to try to pull people, and I've never begged or persuaded for people for their tithes or their attendance or pleaded with somebody to leave this church and come to that church. I'm not here for that. And if you can get blessed and fed and encouraged somewhere else better than you can than be here, I would encourage you. Please, go where you can get fed. If my family, if I felt like there was another church here that, you know, I felt like my family wasn't getting fed here, or, you know, if there was a, even if it was in another state, I believe I'd pick up and move and take my family where they could get fed somewhere. I hope the other churches feel the same way about us. I'm not trying to pull members from here to there, but wherever God wants somebody and they pray about it, I believe that's where they should be. I don't believe we should just get our feelings hurt and hop from here to there, because if so, you'll just be on a constant carousel going from this one, that one. Oh, they're with us this month and that one this month, and you'll just be constantly around. Well, they hurt me over here, so I'm going to go over there for a while, and then once they hurt me, I'm going to leave. At least we've got about five choices here, so you can make a pretty good rotation when you get your feelings hurt. But it should be more than that. It should be, where is God leading me? Where is God placing me? The church of the living. You say, Brother Nathan, you shouldn't say that. What if somebody leaves? Well, if they can get fed somebody somewhere else, they better leave if they can get fed better than here. I don't want to hold you and you be miserable. If you're here and you're miserable, then you're going to make us miserable. And you're going to get so upset and you're going to start nitpicking everything that's said and everything that's done because you're miserable. I wouldn't want to go to church somewhere I was miserable. The Church of the Living God, 1951. Do you know where there's disunity, the Spirit of God is not welcome? Oh my, I wish this quote would be read more often. Where there's disunity, the Spirit of God's not welcome. That goes to a family. That goes to a church. That goes to the message of the hour as a whole. Where there's disunity, it grieves the Spirit of God away. I'm not against any of my brothers, whether they're local or around the world, whatever they be. I can't think of one brother that I would want to get up and call his name and criticize and run the man down. I'm not against these brothers. I'm for them. I want to see God bless their churches. I want to see the churches grow. I want to see people go where they can be fed. There are some people that literally would not walk across this parking lot to hear me say five words. Let's just be honest. They wouldn't do it. They don't want to hear me. And I don't, you know, that if they don't feel led to, then why would I want to pull those people here and make them just absolutely hate going to church and hate the experience that they had and hate coming into the services and just sit there bitter and upset? But thankfully, God has provided places where people can go, where whatever your preference or your doctrine or belief, you should be able to find a church somewhere to go. And God's blessed us with a group of people that feels led to the way we run the services and the way the worship services is. You feel like you can come here and be blessed and grow in the Lord. And I say, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. And there's other churches over here that they're growing to. And people's coming there and they sit there and worship. And they think, my, they're crazy over at Brother Nathan's, the way he runs the service and the music that they have and things. We couldn't sit for five services for that, let alone make it our home church. And they would never get fed here. But they're getting fed somewhere. So why would I be bitter or contentious about that somebody's getting blessed somewhere else? We just want to see people get closer to the Lord. If you can get closer to the Lord here, praise the Lord. But if not, I believe the Lord will provide a place for you. Time-tested memorials of God. He said, when quarrels come up, when differences in the church comes, do you take side with cults and cliques and so forth like that? Do you listen to gossip on the street and around places? If you're guilty of that, you've been blowed through by the devil's blows. Let's go back to the furnace tonight and be remelted again, come out without them in us. Amen. If the musicians would come this morning. If you're guilty of these things, if Satan's given you a critical spirit that you just want to run everybody down or run other churches down or other leadership down, or you want to run other people down because you think, oh, if I was them, I'd do it this way, or Sister so-and-so shouldn't have said this, or Brother so-and-so shouldn't have done this. And when I get around them, I'm going to straighten them out. And you begin to get that negative, critical spirit to where if you're not careful, people get around you and they think, they don't ever have anything good to say. They don't ever say anything positive about nobody. What is going on here? If you're guilty of those things. He said, let's go back to the furnace tonight and be remelted and come out without them in us. Oh my, if there's anything in me that would be unpleasing to the Lord, I pray he molds me and makes me and takes those things out of me. Many times we don't even realize it. Sometimes we just get in a rut of, well, this is just what we do, and this is the way we talk, and this is the way we handle things. That doesn't mean it's right just because you've been in a rut for 5 years or 10 years or whatever it would be. That doesn't mean it's right. But I believe God wants to mold us and remake us and shape us. You say, Brother Nathan, who are you talking about this morning? All of us. All of us. I don't think there's one of us that can sit here and say that we didn't get our toes stepped on this morning a little bit, from me to wherever. Amen. I believe the Word has a way of doing that, of straightening us out. I don't say these things to isolate anybody or point anybody out. If there was an individual I was meaning these things about, I'd go to that individual. I'd say, look, brother or sister, do you realize this is going on? But when I look at things and I realize, oh my, this applies to all of us if we'd really be honest with ourselves. Sometimes it's hard to bring those type of things. But when the Lord's leading you to, I'd rather be in His will and not get, you know, maybe 50 pats on the back that day or whatever than to just go with the flow and be out of His will. So we want to be in His will this morning. If Satan's tried to give you a negative spirit about people, about brothers maybe here or sisters in our church, maybe he'll start there. Maybe it's in your own family. If you're not careful, you know, maybe if he can't get you, if you feel like, oh, I just love everybody here and love coming to church and my brothers and sisters. If he can't get you in that way, then he'll get you pointed at one of these other churches out here. Or he'll get you pointed at brothers in another state or something. He'll find a way to try to get you to come in and try to be critical and try to run people down. Maybe you don't even realize it sometimes till something like this is preached. You think, oh, Lord, I've been guilty of some of these things. But my prayer is that God helps me. I'm not perfect. I'm by no means perfect. There's many of these things that I struggle with myself. I'm just trying to keep this from moving more than it should. And go into the closet somewhere and pray for somebody instead of saying, well, did you hear what Brother so-and-so did or whatever it would be. God help us this morning is my prayer. Just play something, Brother Joshua. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, sometimes, Lord, the things you lay on my heart, I wonder, Lord, why did you even lay that on my heart? Lord, I know it may seem juvenile to some this morning to take a sermon on a topic like this that seems so elementary to people that's been in the message for years and years and years. But Lord, I just felt like you were calling to have us to be reminded of these things. Lord, that if we're not careful, we'll begin to talk evil of our brothers and sisters, or we'll just always have a negative spirit or something to say to cut someone or criticize someone or make fun of someone. And Lord, help us not to get in that condition and be in a rut like that to where people don't even want to get around us because we never have anything good to say. Father, help us to heed the warning of your prophet, Lord, that these things don't mar our experience, that we don't let a root of bitterness begin to enter into ourselves or into the church or into our families. Lord, just give us strength. Help us to stay prayed up so that when Satan tries to come and give us a critical spirit, we can see what his tactics are. Lord, help us to take these things, Lord, not to everybody, but help us to take them to you in prayer and to pray for these that, Lord, maybe some would say something evil or maybe even a lie or maybe something to purposely try to cause us problems. Lord, help us to realize it's not that brother or sister that's doing that. It's just the enemy trying to upset. Help us to pray for that person that you would open their eyes to see what Satan's trying to do through him, Father. Give us strength. Give us patience. Give us a better attitude, Father. Lord, just help us to have love one for another. We don't have to agree with everybody. You never required that. The message doesn't require that, that we agree with everything that everybody does. But you did tell us to pray for those, Lord, even if we disagree. Brother Bram said even if he bitterly disagreed with somebody, he still should be able to put his arm around him and call him brother. Lord, help us not that help that not to just be a quote to us, but may it be our life. May we live that, Father. Oh, the prophet cried out. He said, oh, how we need in Jeffersonville thousands of lived voices. He said, that's the thunder that shakes the enemy. Oh, Lord, may, Lord, those that will hear this, Father, may they not just be a person that professes it, but may they be a lived voice. That when they get to their knees, the very pits of hell would begin to tremble. Lord, when that weakest Christian, Lord, when we get to our knees, how the enemy begins to tremble because he knows that he's going to be exposed. Help us, Father, to take these things in prayer. Lord, that we don't have to run around and tell everybody our opinions or why we disagree with somebody, whatever it would be, Father, but help us to take it before you in prayer and pray for those people, Lord, even if we disagree. Help us to pray, whether it be somebody in the church or somebody in our family or somebody in a different church or a different area. Help us, Father, to have the right attitude, Father, we pray. Be with us, Father. Lord, give us eye salve. Lord, if there's any bitterness, Lord, may your balm of Gilead just come and heal us. Mend us, Father. Lord, may your Holy Spirit just cover over all the rough spots, Lord, that our humanity would try to raise up. And Lord, but Lord, may we stay so prayed up that the enemy can't come in and hinder. Give us a greater desire to serve you, we pray, Father. We love you this morning, Father. We're so thankful for the truth that we're able to present before the people through the quotes and scriptures. I don't know where we'd be without it, Father. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, may be more like thee, Jesus. May be more like thee. Oh, just give me a heart that's your desire this morning. Oh, may he just bathe over us this morning. Oh, just give me your heart that's filled with love. Oh, and make me like me. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees. Oh, till in your own good time you'll answer my pleas. Oh, teach me not to rely on what but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. For they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. More than a song this morning. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are afraid. Lord, help me humble all my pride and just call on your name. Lord, keep my faith renewed. Oh, keep my eyes. Help me be
Is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords.
Let's stand and sing it.
Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. Oh, he's the Messiah is
is the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords.
Let's sing it as we go. God bless you.
King of Kings. Oh, he's the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. The Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King of Kings. Oh, he's the Lord. Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King of Kings.